Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Well, as you sit, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. This has been such a rich and wonderful epistle, has it not, to be working through together? The Lord has taught us many wonderful things. This morning we will be looking at Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 18. I'll be reading verses 14 through 22 for context. Before we hear the reading and preaching of God's word, let's go before him once again in prayer. Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We need your light, O Lord. We need your truth. We pray that your spirit would work in us, that you would guide us and teach us now, we pray. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, hear now the very word of God written for you and for me today. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. May he add his blessing to the reading of his word to us. Well, beloved in Christ, it's good to look back and to remember who we once were, isn't it? We need to remember to remember. And this was part of Paul's teaching to the Ephesian saints as he built on the foundation of knowing the power of God's grace in the risen Christ. And this is important for us to learn and do as well. For Paul calls us to look back at who we were apart from Christ, that we will better know and cherish the glorious work that he has done in making us who we now are in Christ. It's good to compare who we were with who we are now, that we would humble ourselves and grow in our love and thankfulness to God. As we look back and remember verse 1, showing us the deadness of our sinful nature, it's also good for us to think about how verse 12 revealed our previous relational alienation from Jesus Christ and his church. We were dead sinners who have now been raised to new life in Jesus Christ. We were once far off, but have now been brought near by his blood. Our distance and separation from Christ was far from being unremarkable, for we were without him and godless. We were blindly walking in darkness with no saving interest in him. We were foreigners outside of the fellowship and the covenant community of Christ's church. We were strangers to the covenant of grace and God's promises. And as such, we were hopeless. But that is where, once again, we find the glorious good news of the gospel. For Jesus didn't leave the Gentile saints in the Ephesian church in that estate. Neither did he leave us there. And this is another paramount truth to remember, isn't it? As we consider the peace of God's grace in our crucified Lord, we are so thankful and give him all the praise and the glory, for Jesus took us, aliens to his covenant promises, those who were far off, and brought us near to himself and made us part of his bride, the church. And Paul takes us further in today's text in understanding more of the great reality and the impact of Christ's peace in and amongst his church. Paul puts more meat to the bones, so to speak, to his words in verse 13. And this morning, we will consider Christ himself being our peace in verse 14a. Also, Christ's work in making peace in verse 14b through 16, as well as, finally, Christ preaching peace in verses 17 and 18. And so let's begin in verse 14a, where Paul said, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one." My friends, Jesus Christ is peace. Jesus Christ is peace, and peace is a part of his character. He is the ultimate peacemaker as well. He's also the great giver of peace, the scriptures teach us. And what we find in our passage today is the evidence of his peacemaking work and how he did it. It was prophesied by the prophet Micah that he would be peace. In Micah chapter 5, verses 4 through 5, we read there, "And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace." It is through him, beloved, that we have peace with God. Romans 5:1. Christ is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah says in Isaiah 9:6. And so Paul begins this fundamental truth that Jesus himself is our peace. And Jesus has brought us near as he reconciled us to the Father. Another aspect of reconciliation is set before us wonderfully in this verse, as Paul focuses on how Christ made peace among his people in the church. Now remember that the Jews and the Gentiles were enemies. The two spoke critically of each other and even hated each other. Paul told us of how the Jews used a derogatory slur towards the Gentiles. Remember how we considered the condescending view of the circumcision and that view that they had towards the uncircumcision. The Jews were prideful and arrogant regarding their standing with God. And he here deals squarely with the Jews' false confidence and their despising of God's grace as they boasted that they were the holy people of God. Remember also, Paul was one of them. He was so blind and arrogant as well before Christ saved him. He greatly persecuted Christ's church. And so for Paul to say these things that he does in this passage is remarkable. A true testimony of God's saving, life-giving, eye-opening, transforming work in him. And note that the peace that Christ bought and brought wasn't just that there would be two groups of people, the Jews and the Gentiles, in his body that were no longer at enmity with one another. But even more, that there would also be strong spiritual unity between and among them. Christ indeed is our peace. And Paul said that Christ had made both one. Jesus brought biblical harmony and restoration into their relationships. He made the two one, united with each other in Christ and reconciled to God by the cross. It's true that all who are in Christ should have no doubt that they have been reconciled to God. So my friends, Paul didn't simply tell the saints in Ephesus these things to give them a brief lesson on how Christ brought them into the church together. Yes, he did that, but there was more. The saints still wrestled with matters relating to unity. Conflicts and divisions needed to be repaired and restored. But know this, if Christ can reconcile Jew and Gentile in the church through the shedding of his blood, he can heal conflicts and issues that arise in his body. We must all continue to look to Christ, who is our peace, regularly encouraging one another to do the same. We need to be fervent in our prayers together that God would continue to bless and grow us in peace and unity, as well as to wisely, lovingly, and effectively deal with conflict that arises among us in ways that bring about good, God-glorifying reconciliation. And Paul went on to speak about how Christ has made us one. In verse 14b through 15, we read, "And has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." Now, what does Paul mean when he says that Christ broke down the middle wall of separation? This middle wall emphasizes the division. Paul is referring to the courts in the temple in Jerusalem. There was a wall that separated the court of the Jews from the court of the Gentiles. There were signs posted that prohibited Gentiles from entering into the inner courts where sacrifices for sin were made. But how did Christ break down that wall? Well, he abolished the enmity, Paul said, in his flesh. Important three words there. In his flesh. Paul is explaining in a different expression what he said to us in verse 13. That Jesus brought those far off near his blood, and here by his blood. And here again, we are pointed to Jesus' atoning sacrificial death on the cross. The gospel was to go forth and to be preached to the Gentiles. Paul told the Ephesians that grace was given to him to do just that. He said that here later in this very epistle in chapter 3, verse 8. He said to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And consider also Peter's words to Cornelius and those who were with him in Acts 10, verse 26, where he bore witness to this. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So Jesus has made us one. He has broken down the middle wall, and he did something else as well. Look at verse 15. Paul said, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Beloved, the word abolish literally means to nullify. But what was nullified? Jesus offered his own body as the final sacrifice that the temple sacrifices pointed to. The Old Testament ceremonial laws that divided the Jews from the Gentiles were abolished. But why? Because Christ fulfilled them. He fulfilled them. And thus, the dividing line is gone. And Jew and Gentiles can come to Christ. And those who were far off have been brought near in Christ. And so why did Jesus do this? Why did Jesus do this? Paul said, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Beloved, as we consider our redemption, and even as we consider Paul's words regarding Christ creating in himself one new man, we need to realize that our redemption is a recreation. Creation itself points forward to our recreation in Christ. Redemption being a recreation becomes this one new man from the two in Christ, thus making peace. And so Jesus, who is our peace, notice, makes peace, true peace. And how did he do this? Through the cross. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Clearly there is enmity, beloved, between God and sinners, Jew and Gentile alike. Christ's mission was one of reconciliation, to do away with that enmity and to reconcile them both to God in one body. And it was through Jesus' death on that painful and horrible cross that the enmity was put to death. That enmity and hostility, my friends, is dead and gone forever. Praise the Lord. And remember, when Jesus died, the temple veil marking off and separating the Holy of Holies was torn in two from top to bottom, thus opening access for all to enter the Holy of Holies through Christ, to enter his presence because of the merit and mediation of Christ. And so we do so together this morning, even, as we worship him, do we not? But notice in verse 17, Paul then says, and Christ preached peace. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. Now this was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 57 verse 19, where Isaiah prophesied that there would be a day when God's peace would be proclaimed to those who were far off and those who were near. So Jesus, who made us one, who made peace, is also the one in his spirit who speaks peace wherever the gospel is preached. Christ proclaims the terms of reconciliation with God and of eternal life to men wherever the gospel is preached. So, beloved, realize that Christ is preaching peace even here through this pulpit today. He brings good tidings of peace today through the faithful preaching of the word by faithful ministers. Every time a minister faithfully expounds God's word, he is preaching Christ, preaching his peace. And do you hear and receive this message of peace? If you hear and receive it, do you heed what you've received? Is it bearing fruit in your life? Do you receive the truth of the word with faith and with love and meekness and readiness of mind? as the Word of God? Do you meditate on it and hide it in your heart? Is the received Word bearing fruit in your life? And in verse 18, Paul said, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Such a glorious verse in many ways. One of which is this. Notice the Trinitarian directory that Paul gives us here for corporate worship. Look at that verse. "Together we draw near to the Father in prayer and praise through Christ, enjoying His presence by one Spirit, united together in Him." And further, Paul also teaches us that our access to the Father through Christ is proof of our reconciliation. It's proof of the finished work that Christ has done for us and what that truly meant, what that truly accomplished. Despite what the world may think and say, there aren't many paths to peace with God, and therefore access to Him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. John 14:6. And so through Christ, by one Spirit, we have free access into the presence, into the sanctuary of the Holy God. And if that doesn't drop you to your knees, I don't know what will. Think about it. Jesus is the way, the only way, and He has opened the way to the Father exclusively for His people. Remember, the Gentiles were denied access to God. They were outside. They could enter the court of the Gentiles, but came no further. Even for the Jews, their access was limited. And only through the high priest, who could enter the Holy of Holies once a year. However, we, the people of God, the church, have free access through Christ. In fact, we are called 52 times a year to gather in God's presence and worship Him. And what a wonderful privilege and a blessing that is. But considering this, do you better understand that privilege and see the importance of it? The importance of what we are doing right now. The importance of the reality that we are in the presence of God. We are in the heavenly sanctuary, worshiping with all of the saints. We have free access to God in Christ. And yet, how do we think about His worship? How do we treat His day? The day in which He has called us to come and do these things. I encourage you to think about that. So, brothers and sisters, never forget, Jesus Christ is your peace. He is our peace. And as He has made us who were enemies of His children, His friends, Jesus has also made Jews and Gentiles, those who were once at enmity with each other, brothers and sisters in Him. And we need to remember this when the times are good, as well as when there's conflict that may arise, when there's tensions that may arise in Christ's church. As Christ is our peace, He, by His Spirit, will also bring peace to troubled waters. And we need to be diligent by His work and grace to do what we are called to do in maintaining that peace and that purity and that unity in the church. But also take this with you. Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker. And I'm not talking about the gun. He is the ultimate peacemaker. The peace that really matters and is important. In our vertical relationship with God, and that He has made peace between us and the Father, and He has reconciled us to Him, but also horizontally amongst ourselves, within the church, by His sacrificial death on the cross, He has broken down that middle wall. He has created one new man, one united body. And finally, not only has Christ made us one, made peace, but by His finished work for us, He has also opened the way and grants us that free access to the Father through Him by the Spirit. True peace, true reconciliation, true restoration. Give Him praise and all glory for that today. Amen. Praise God for His word. Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.